Well, if you open your Bibles back to Proverbs chapter 4, and while you're doing there, let me add my welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning, and all of you who are regulars here. It's so edifying to have this opportunity to worship together. John, did you know what I was preaching on this morning? I could have just said, you know, whatever he sang, we sang this morning, just do that, and I'd offer the invitation, because it's exactly what I'm going to be talking about, so I appreciate that very much, and it's good to have some of you that have been away from us back again. I'm leaving this afternoon for a week of a great fellowship with some young folks up at camp. The best part about that is I have no cell service up there, so nobody can talk to me. So, in the text that Brother Jeff read just a few moments ago, we have the advice of a father to his son about ordering his life. And he prefaces that by saying, listen carefully to what I am saying here. And the reason that is important, and the reason that the lesson that we're going to be talking about this morning is important, is because there's so many choices available to us, so many different directions that we can go in our life. I didn't know that Misty and the boys were going to be here this morning when I got this lesson together, but a few weeks ago we went down to visit them, and they took Robin and I to, is it the food cart pod? Is that what that's called? Food cartel. Anyway, it's a bunch of what we call them California roach coaches. They're mobile things that they've all parked in there. And there's about 33 different kinds of food just in this one little area. They had Thai, they had Japanese, they had Mexican, they had German. Aside from American, they had Argentinian and Chinese. They had vegan, which was, to me, the most foreign. It's been a long time. When I go into, for instance, Baskin-Robbins, which is 31 or 33, 31 flavors, I pretty much know what I want. And there's some that I would never even try. But as I'm walking around looking at all of these menus and smelling all of these smells, that's the hardest time I've ever had trying to pick something out to eat. In the same way, as we look around us in our lives, there are so many choices of directions that we could go. And in reality, though, there's really only two. There is a straight path, and there's crooked paths. There's only one straight path. There are a lot of crooked paths to choose from. And they're broad, and you, even looking on that picture there, you have no idea where you're going to end up with either one of those. And the problem that most people have, I think, in our world and in life is sometimes people don't know what path they're on, which one they've chosen. George Orwell, which I think this is the first time in my preaching career I've ever quoted George Orwell, recalled an event, an observation he had, and something that he did that I think kind of fits here. And so I'm going to just quote this for you, and I'm glad that we're doing this well before lunch. Here's what he said. He said, I thought of a rather cruel trick I once played on a wasp. He was sucking jam on my plate, and I cut him in half. He paid no attention. He merely went on with his meal, while a tiny stream of jam trickled out of his thorax. Only when he tried to fly away did he grasp the dreadful thing that had happened to him. I'm sure the bug, the wasp, is sitting there thinking, man, this is really, really good. I'm really enjoying this. This is wonderful. Until, in fact, very happy until he started to fly away, and then he thought, oh no. Great. You know, I'm leaving my body behind me.
That's going to be the case with just about everyone who takes the crooked path. When they get to the end, they're going to say, oh no. They're enjoying it. They're having a great time, but they're enjoying it. So that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. Over in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, where Moses is giving his last talks here, and starting in verse 15, he said, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." See, there's two ways there. "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." That's what I'm going to be saying to you this morning. Two options: the crooked way or the straight way. Death and destruction, or life and prosperity. Let me assure you, too, that if you are on the wrong path and you have assembled with us this morning and you're alive, and as I look out, you all appear to be that. If you found yourself that you're on the wrong path, if you're on that crooked path, you can change. You're not stuck there. You can make that change. And so let's open our Bibles together, and I'd like you to go back, and let's get this crooked path thing out of the way at the beginning, and let's go back in Proverbs, but just a chapter or two, to chapter 2 in verses 12 through 15. That says 15 through 17, doesn't it? I want 12 through 15. "The father tells his son, 'Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in all their ways.'" Now listen to that again and imagine what kind of people populate this path that's crooked. In verse 12, he tells us that it is populated with wicked men. Men whose words are perverse. It's dark. Perverse, by the way, the word itself means twisted. They're twisted, so they're crooked in themselves. It's a dark path. It's filled with people who delight in doing evil. And, of course, there at the end, he said, their paths are crooked. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have anything to do with that path. It doesn't look like it's populated with the kind of people that I want to rub elbows with. And so the question is, and so why do so many people choose the crooked path?
Well, I think number one, it's inviting. I tried to pick out a screen background there that, you know, you say, well, you know, I'd kind of like to take a walk down that road. And that's the way the crooked path is. It invites you. It says, come this way. Take a walk along me. It is also the path of least resistance. It's like rivers. You know, rivers don't flow straight out. They meander around, and it's because they're going the path of least resistance. If you follow a deer trail in the forest, it's not going to go straight. It's going to go where it's the easiest to go. And consequently, we want to, as human beings often, to take the easy path, to make every step of our journey fun. And on the crooked path, listen, there's no desire that you have that you don't have to satisfy. You can do whatever you want. And so that fits the mindset of most people. It also causes a shortened vision. You can't see the big picture when you're on the crooked path because you're in the moment. You're enjoying what you're doing right then. And in fact, when you're on a crooked path, you're looking down and seeing the things that that are around you, and you're looking at all the people around you. And listen, this is a popular path. There's lots of people around it. So how can all these people be wrong? And it's moving along, and so you're happy to take that. The problem with a crooked path, though, is you can't see where you're going beyond where you are. You can't see around the corner.
You don't even know what lies a short distance ahead of you. And certainly you can't know the path is going to end.
And so when you get to the end, you're going to feel like that wasp, that you made a horrible, horrible mistake. According to Matthew, the 17th chapter, Jesus said that it's a popular way, it's broad, and many are those that go in that path. And it can accommodate a lot of people. There's a sense of security there. There's a sense of confidence in numbers. Again, how can so many people be wrong?
In Luke, the 13th chapter, in verse 23, the disciples asked Jesus, "Are there few that are saved?" And Jesus very candidly said, yes, there's few, but he said, more importantly, you make sure you're a part of that number. You make sure that you're a part of the few. The crooked path is going to end in death. It's going to end in destruction. No one is going to be happy at the end of that path. So let's get rid of that one. Let's look at the straight path.
And again, I want you to go back to Proverbs, the 4th chapter there, in verses 20 through 27, which is what Jeff read for us this morning. And I want you to notice that there are several things there that you have to be aware of as you're on the straight path. Number one, the evidence of the straight path is going to begin in your heart. He says there in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Listen, whatever you let into your heart, whatever you take in, is eventually going to show up in your life. And so every once in a while, we need to do a heart check. We need to find out where we are in this life and what our purpose is. Are we satisfied with the short-term joy that we're getting, or are we looking at the long-term fulfillment and purpose of our lives for which God created us? And in fact, if you go to the extreme long view, God created you to have fellowship with Him in eternity. He wants you to be there. As hard as that is for me to believe and accept, that's one of the most difficult things, that God wants me. God wants you
with Him in eternity, in that kind of a fellowship, an intimate fellowship. Which is why there in Colossians, and I decided not to put the text up on the screen. I wanted you to turn there with me this morning. In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, Paul said, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." That's how you follow that. And you set your heart. You make sure that it's on the right path. The second thing is we have straight talk. We have speech that is proper. In verse 24 of Proverbs 4, put perversity out of your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. And again, the perversity there is that crooked talk. Your speech is corrupt. I have Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25 and then down to verse 29, where Paul said, "Therefore let each of you put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor." Down in verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." The word for unwholesome there could easily be translated rotten. Don't let rotten words come out of your mouth. I think I've shared this with you once before. In the first congregation I was preaching at, there was a woman there, and she was talking about that with me. We had discussed that. And she said that when she was younger, she had kind of a filthy mouth. And she let loose with one of those words one time in her dad's presence. And her dad looked at her and said, "What you just had in your mouth, I wouldn't hold in my hand." That's rotten. That's rotten speech. Make sure that your speech is straight. Make sure that it's proper and right and healthy and wholesome. It also has to do with our vision. There and again, verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 4. "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you."
everything that we have, a lot of the temptations and things that we have come as a result of our vision. Job 31 and verse 1, Job said, "I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a maid?" And so the idea there of lustful vision, of pornography, something that's especially pernicious to men.
But it's not just that. It's covetousness. It is jealousy. It's envy. It's all of those things that come as a result of our vision. And even our fears come from that. Matthew, the 14th chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole text there or look at that, but that's the story where Jesus comes walking on the water to the disciples in the midst of a storm. And Peter asks Jesus, if you are the Lord, then bid me to come to you. And Jesus said in verse 29, come. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water. Listen, good for Peter. I'm impressed with him. You know, we say Jesus is the only one that ever walked on water. No, he's not. Peter walked on the water too. Until there in the middle of verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, when he took his eyes off the Lord and looked other places, then he began to sink. We need to keep our eyes ahead, keep our eyes on the Lord. And then finally, our direction. And again, back in Proverbs, the 4th chapter and verse 26, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm.
When you wander off course, when you wander off this straight path, you've immediately made it crooked. And we often think, well, I'll just take a little step off. I'm not going to go very far, and then I'll come back to the Lord.
Listen, we all know people. We've all have our stories in our past where people said, just a little, I'll just go a little ways, and then they never come back. Earlier in Proverbs, in the 4th chapter, in verses 10 and 11, the father says, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. I believe that God has given to us a straight path. He's made it perfectly clear for us. And if we'll stay on that, and if we'll follow the guidance that we can have to do that, then things are going to get well. So the question then becomes, how do we do that? What practical steps, no pun intended there, must we take? What choices do we make in order to remain on the straight path? And there again in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, in verses 5 and 6, we are given the ways to do that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So three things there. Trust in God. Don't lean on your own understanding and acknowledge Him. And the promise of that is that God will make your path straight. Listen, God is the only one who can take something crooked and make it straight. And I'm going to spend the rest of our time this morning looking at those instructions and hopefully convincing us to leave that crooked path behind. So first of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first step off the crooked path and onto the straight one. You're going to have to trust God. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your soul. Trust Him with your loved ones and their lives. Everything about you. And trust is
your assurance, your confidence in the character,
in the power or the ability of someone else. Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 5, we have the promise. God said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. You have to trust Him in that. Jeremiah the 29th chapter, we looked at Jeremiah 29 this morning in our Bible class, but
right after God tells the people, I'm taking you in to captivity, immediately following that, this is a letter to the exiles. In verse 11, God said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's desire for us.
He wants us to succeed. And that's why we have to trust. And there's plenty of evidence in the scriptures for us placing our trust in God. That's a whole nother lesson. I'm happy to share that with you at some point, or anybody can do that if you'll give us the opportunity. Now, you have to trust in the Lord, and you have to trust Him with your whole heart. That is not something that's foreign to us. That's something that you do, I think, every day. When you come up to an intersection with a green light, what do? You go right through it. Why? Because you trust that the other cars are going to stop at the red light. You're shocked when they don't. Okay, we trust other drivers with that. You trust that an airplane that you get into, that you cannot see necessarily where you're going, but if you get in at point A and you bought a ticket to point B, you trust that that's where you're going to end up. I'll tell you something even more amazing. We trust 16-year-olds at fast food restaurants that they have washed their hands. And you'll go in there and order food, and you see that little guy back there, you know, and he's cooking up, and you don't say, I wonder if he'd washed his hands. No, you trust him. And we do that all of the time. And so when God says something and He's placed a period at the end of that statement, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'll be with you always even to the end of the age, you're not allowed to put a question mark there. As to wonder whether or not that's going to happen. God is trustworthy. And the reason we know is just what we just memorialized. He sent His Son to die for us. That's how much He loves us. And He's revealed for us in His Word a path for us to follow, a will for us to obey, and a God who He has introduced to us. And so we need to trust in the Lord. We also need to not lean on our own understanding. If you start leaning on your own understanding, that means you're pushing God out of the picture. You're not trusting Him anymore. So what does it mean to lean? To lean means to move in a certain direction. If you've ever ridden a motorcycle and you're wanting to make a corner, you lean. And it will take you in that direction. It also means to place one's full weight on something. So you know, I'm leaning against this wall. And guess what? I'm trusting that it'll hold me up. Yeah. So we lean that way. We also lean in the sense of having opinions. You know, you go into that food court pod. I'm leaning towards Argentinian today, and so that's the way that you'll go. Understanding is your mental grasp of something, your comprehension. Let me illustrate that with your right hand side rear view mirror that's on the outside. I'm driving and I look out there. I can see what's going on. I have a perception of what's going on behind me and a comprehension of what's going on. But it's limited. In fact, it tells me it's limited because right on my mirror, it says objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. I saw you back there. I didn't know you were that close. That's the conversation you have after you pulled in front of them and they've hit you. Life is the same way. I can get an insight to my life, a perception of my life as I'm going through it. But I can't lean on that. I can't lean on that understanding. I have to understand that same caption that goes with life. And I'll try to make it small enough to go into the mirror there. God's ways and thoughts are not our ways and thoughts. Or God's ways and thoughts are superior to ours. That should be on your mirror of your life. And recognize that when you're facing a difficult situation. In fact, let me ask this. When you're facing a difficult situation, what do you do first? What's your first impulse? Do you consult God or people that are godly people who have lived that life? Or do you just lean on your own understanding and go forward? And if that's the case, if you're just always doing what you want, I'll just ask you a question you don't have to answer for me. How's that working out for you? When you just do what you think is right. God wants us to pray. He wants us to seek His guidance. He wants us to search the Scriptures and find principles there upon which we can base our life. He wants us to seek His will. And sometimes it's there, and sometimes you're going to find it from godly people who know His will and have lived their lives, and you can get wisdom from them. If you can't see the end from the beginning, you absolutely need God's help. And finally, acknowledge God in all that you do.
The word acknowledge here in the Hebrew means to recognize the authority of God, and to do so in every aspect of your life, in all that you do. If you're in a hospital
and you're on life support, hopefully you have made arrangements ahead of time that you've given one person the power of attorney to make decisions for you, because you can't make decisions anymore. You're not able to make those decisions. And what we're saying here is that you've given God that power to make those decisions in your life. Because if you're sick, you can't make healthy decisions. You need somebody healthy. You need somebody like God to do that. So in all that you do, listen, you can't invite God into part of your life and tell Him, but in these other areas of life, that you don't have any part in there. God's not going to negotiate that with you. You're not going to get very far with Him. Here's the agreement that God will make. Trust in God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, and acknowledge Me in everything that you do. So there are going to be zero areas of your life that God is not overseeing. And so you let His light shine into your life in every part of your life, whether you're talking about your marriage, your children, your career, your recreation, your hobbies, your faith. And the promise again is that He will make your paths straight.
If God is directing your path, it will be straight. Again, Proverbs 29:11. He's got plans for you to prosper you, to make you successful. And I'm going to make an assumption here, and you can correct me after if I'm wrong, that if you're on the crooked path, you don't want to be there. If you didn't want to be on the crooked path, I don't believe you'd be here this morning. You'd rather be on the path with God. Now, as we bring this lesson to a conclusion, I don't want you to think that taking the straight path is always easy. Straight can become straight. It can be narrow. It can become constricted. There can be difficulties. But you'll never be alone. The song that John led just before,
when up ahead I see a chasm wide, and then I look to Jesus, and if He's by my side, I can do everything. I can do anything. I can go anywhere with Him. And that's basically what Paul is telling us in Romans 8th chapter, in verse 18. And it's such a comforting
passage. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings, whatever straight, straight, conditions that you go through in life, difficulties, sufferings, problems that you have, that the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Sorry, Megan, I'm going to use you as an example.
Yeah. She said she's used to it. You didn't hear that. She's only been example for 30 years. As you know, she's had a very difficult pregnancy, and it's not over yet. And there's going to be issues still ahead. Listen, when those babies are born, I can say the same thing for Kristen as well. She's had her problems as well. When those babies are born and you see their lives and you see those children and the glory of those babies, the problems and difficulties that you had are going to seem as nothing. And when you give your life to the Lord and you're in fellowship with Him and walking with Him, can't even be compared to whatever you might be called upon to sacrifice or give up in this life when you're in heaven with God. And it's the only path to get the straight path, the only one to get to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John the 14th chapter in verse 4, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No one comes to the Father except by me. And I even like a little different application of that. Jesus said, I'm the true and living way. The, single, the true and living way. If you want life and not death, if you want
prosperity, and I'm not talking about monetary, I'm talking about spiritual prosperity, spiritual health, a successful, fulfilled life that will end in your eternal fellowship with God in heaven, then choose Jesus. Because He's the only way. And if you want more time to think about that, we will pray that God will give you more time, and we would be happy, more than happy, to share our hope in Him and our faith in Him and those things that you need to know. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is actually the true and living way, and that you want to leave the crooked path, you want to get off of that and start walking the way of Christ, making that decision is repentance. And then confess it. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And be buried with Him in baptism into Christ. And then He'll make you into what He wants you to be. John selected, I think it was only a step, right? When I think of only a step, I think of the moon landing in 1968. Was it 68? 69. I should have known that because that's my year my sister graduated, which is why I was in Idaho. I'll give you all that information later. He said, one small step for man, but a giant step for mankind. This step... This only this step of leaving the crooked path and going to the straight path is a huge step, but it's only a step. And you get to choose whether or not you make it or not. And we want to encourage you with all of our hearts to do that. In fact, we're going to encourage you to do that with all of our voices while we stand and sing this song. And if we can help you with that, please come forward while we stand and sing.